Blog Talk Radio.
Skylark, have you anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring?
You have been listening to the beautiful tones of Donna Doosan, my very special guest today, singing a Mercer Carmichael tune called Skylark. And we'll get to meet Donna and hear more of her talent a little bit later on. Hello, everyone out there. It is Lauren Leibowitz here and Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, November 11th. It's Veterans Day, so a big thank you to all our service men and women overseas who are out there doing what they do to make us have a safe life here. So a big salute to all of them out there. And we are live. We are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. So please join us live to ask questions or listen in at 347-857-2710. Again, you can join us live at 347-857-2710. And you can also listen to us via the internet by just logging on to blogtalkradio.com/Lauren-Leibowitz, Lauren-Leibowitz, Leibowitz. Before we get started with our fabulous guest today, I want to give a big thank you to all my listeners that came out and supported me at the Alzheimer's Memory Walk last Sunday. Woohoo, woohoo! It was quite a successful event. I believe the Alzheimer's Foundation raised over $600,000 on this particular event. So kudos to everyone that participated, and thank you for your support. Well, let's not delay this any further. I think when I think about the jazz artist that I would like to listen to, I think my guest name is at the top of the list. She has this cool and cultured voice she uses with her incredible skill to put an extra pizzazz into a varied collection of jazz standards, and her recently released CD, High Wire, is a testament to her enormous talent. And in addition to being an amazing vocalist, which you've just heard, Donna Doosan is an incredible teacher. She'll teach you the basics of proper vocal technique and toss in her creativity and musical intuition to give her clients the best results. And what more could you want? So on that note, please welcome Donna Doosan. Hey, Donna.
Hey, Lauren. Hey, Lauren. Thank you for such a nice talk up there. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think that's what I love most about my show is putting out those first 3 minutes, and then it's all you.
Now I get to talk?
Now you get to talk. That's right. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Well, now, I think it's... Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
I just wanted to say I think it's so cool that you did the Alzheimer's Walk. I didn't know you were going to do that, and I wish I had known because I would have joined you. But,
Do you have somebody that has, unfortunately, Alzheimer's? Or
I don't, but I like doing those kind of things for charity, and and I applaud people who participate in that.
Yes. So there's something about doing any kind of donating your time to a charity in whatever capacity that may be, but especially a walk where there's a start and a finish, and when you cross
mm-hmm.
the finish line, there's truly a sense of accomplishment
mm-hmm.
and that you absolutely did something. You really did make an effort to help,
yeah.
help the cause.
Well,
and it was nice. They, for those of our listeners that are in the Los Angeles area, this walk was located in Century City, and I guess where the old Schubert Theater used to be, this
mm-hmm.
is where the area where all the Hollywood talent agencies are now located. It's called Century Park. And so the Alzheimer's Foundation took over the Century Park, and they had a band, and they had, I guess, Steve Edwards, one of the local hosts of a local talk show, and Lisa Gibbons and some other celebrities were there, and they had music, and they had a whole bunch of other related businesses to aging. And so it's
Bravo to you for doing that.
Oh, well, thank
you.
Really
cool.
It was fun. Okay.
How many miles
was
it?
It was a sissy walk. It was
sissy. See, then I definitely could have joined you.
but it's more of a stroll. It was a 5K, so that's about 3.2 miles.
Yeah, I probably could have handled that.
Of course you could. Of course you could. You know, you're walking with thousands of other people, so it was more of a casual stroll.
Right, yeah.
Than a walk. But it was nice. It got you out. It got me out. I dragged my husband along, and it was nice. It was a family
oh,
event.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool indeed. And you're very cool. I mean, opening with Skylark, a standard.
Thank you.
And I love your rendition of it. How did you choose jazz, that genre, as your...
I actually attended Berklee College of Music many years ago. And when I was there, I really found out a lot more about jazz. I had listened to some jazz before that, particularly Ella Fitzgerald. I had really loved in high school, but once I got to college and started really digging in, that's what got me mostly interested in it. And then when I moved to LA after I graduated, I was doing a lot of different kinds of music. I was singing pop and country and rock and no rap though. But
no rap.
But it was,
is that considered music?
I'm a terrible rapper. but as the years went on, I just kind of kept coming back to jazz as that thing that just really drew me. I just love singing the old standards, and I love putting my own spin on them and trying to find a way to make them sound different than anybody else, you know. So that's when I've been doing it.
And who were your mentors? Who was it that pushed you to go into this field?
Well, my mom was my piano teacher growing up, and I think she was my first influence as far as music was concerned. And she's a great musician. And my sister as well, she's a classical flute player, and she's also a singer as well. And so growing up with her in the house, we're singing all the time, constantly doing harmonies and making up songs on the, on the piano and writing silly little, kid songs. But, that we just always had music going on all the time growing up. And then when I got to high school, I was really lucky. They had a great music program at our high school. So I got really involved in the band and choir and drama and all that stuff, and kind of learned at that time that I actually was pretty good at it. You know, I hadn't realized up until then. I just thought everybody... could sing. So
how nice. Well, we can. I mean, I think pretty much everybody. Well, let's say most people can sing. You can hum a song, or it all depends on what you do with that, and whether you you can hone that instrument into something more professional. But we all kind of sing in the shower.
Right, and everyone starts with something. That's right. And everybody can improve. That's actually how I feel about my teaching, is that no matter where you're starting from, I can help you improve. So that is true. Everyone can sing.
What do you think one piece of advice your teachers gave you, let's say at Berklee School of Music or anywhere along your career, that you to this day still use and think it's a vital piece of information?
Well, good question. I would say just learning the discipline to practice every day. That was something that came hard to me, when I was younger. And I think over the years, working with different teachers and having them tell me, that's the key, is to just make sure you're doing this every day and don't slack off. And then when I really buckled down and started really working, that's when I started seeing results. So I would say, some teachers telling me, practice daily. Don't put it aside, but make this your passion. So you've got to make it, you know, you've got to make it the best you can.
Well, there's that old joke, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? It's practice, practice, practice.
Right. Exactly.
But it's very true. And, you know, it's just so interesting in talking to you and some of the other guests that I've had, you often wonder where your life will take you as an adult, meaning the influences you have as a child, will that affect who you become as an adult? As an example, your mother was a piano teacher, and now your sister is a singer and a musician, and you sing, and you also play the piano. Mm-hmm. So it's so interesting that if we're aware when we're younger that, oh my God, we're getting little bits of hints that can help direct us
right
to our lives. It might be, I don't know, sometimes I'm always looking for the quick answer.
Right. Well, and you just never know where it's, I mean, I have a 6-year-old niece, and I'm teaching her piano right now. And I just get a huge kick out of it because, to me, she's completely naturally talented. She's making up songs already. She plays musically with, you know, she just is picking it up like it's nothing. You know, it's no work for her. You know, and she's just soaking it right up. And so I have all these grandiose ideas on what, you know, what kind of musician she's going to be when she grows up.
We can mold you, you know.
Exactly.
Make you a
star. But she probably, you know, who knows what she'll be when she grows up. But I can tell already, if she wants to, she could be a very good musician. She definitely has the natural ability already. So.
Is it something that she loves, or she?
Oh, yeah, she does. But she's really cute. We're going through a book series together on the piano, and when we got towards the end of the first book, she said, oh, when I'm done with this book, maybe I'll take violin because then I'll have learned how to play the piano. She thinks after the one book, she thought she was done. That was all. I was like, no, there's more books to do.
There's
so it was very cute.
That's very
She thought she'd mastered it.
That's great if you can find a gift, if you have an innate ability to do something. I think that's wonderful, and you're giving your niece your gifts of teaching. That's incredible. That's beautiful.
Well, she has, you know, two talented parents as well. Her mom being a flute player, and her dad's a composer. So, you know, she's got the genes for it as well. So, we're just trying to mold her.
We can make you a star.
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to be, but I see your name in lights.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, when she was younger, she got to come hear me sing a few times. I was playing at gigs where she was able to come. They wasn't at a bar or something. And so she told her mom when she grew up, she wanted to be a jazz singer after she saw me sing. So that was very nice.
See, you already have a huge following.
Yeah. A couple of 6-year-olds.
You know what? People like your music. It doesn't matter what age. You know, from 6 to 80, right? You span many, many generations.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Well, and you know what's really exciting is that the album is available on cdbaby.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun to see. I log on there and I can see people from all over the world who've bought the CD. You know, I'll sell one in Japan and then one in Australia and one in Switzerland. And it's just, so that's really gratifying to get to see, you know, that it's actually getting out there in the world. And people who I'll never get to meet are actually listening to me. That feels incredible.
That's the beauty of the Internet.
Exactly.
So tell us about your latest CD, High Wire. How was it born?
Well, I got together with a good friend of mine, a guy named Alan Keeney, who had a studio, and he's also an excellent bass player. And we just sat down and started talking about songs we wanted to do and kind of put it together. He introduced me to the piano player on the CD, Mark Massey, who did all the arrangements. Well, he and I co-arranged his stuff, but, I mean, he was the genius behind it. And then Mark put together the band. And we just went in the studio and just started laying stuff down. And Alan knew a sax player, a guy named Eric Marienthal, who is actually Chick Corea's saxophone player. And so he got him to come in and play in a couple of the tracks, which was pretty exciting. So,
wow, you got a lot of high-end people on your CD. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I got lucky. I got lucky getting these guys. They're all amazing musicians. So is that Anders Swanson is on bass, and Aldo Bentivania is on drums. And Aldo is just one of my favorite drummers ever. He's amazing. He can play anything. He can play speed metal. You know, he can play
what
gorgeous
is speed
jazz.
Metal?
What is speed metal? Mm-hmm. Lauren, where have you been?
I'm on a radio show. I don't get out much. What is speed metal? Like a drug? I don't know.
No, it's it's like heavy metal, only really, really fast, basically.
Speed metal? That's what they're calling
speed
it?
Speed metal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, it's been around a while. I don't personally listen to it, but.
Well, it's like somebody said to me, they were talking to me about some kind of venue in town, and they play house music. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, isn't that nice? It's like whatever the house wants, they play. You know, like house wine. Whatever the house, you know, I'm serving, Deuce of Chardonnay, that's the house Chardonnay. And I asked somebody that, and they said, no, Lauren.
No.
It's what it is. It's a certain type of music. This is me. I'm not into I like jazz. I like the music you sing.
Well, thanks.
Because there's a story and
there's a melody. That's what I like. You know, I try to find songs with beautiful melodies that are just really fun to sing and that, you know, just work with my instrument. You know, everybody's voice is a little different, and you got to find the songs that really suit you. So.
That's true. Well, I want to play a little bit. Old Devil Moon. That's been
okay.
Got around forever. It's a Burton Lane and E.Y. Harbing tune from Finian's Rainbow. And then I want you to talk to us about that. So let's give a listen to Donna Deuson singing Old Devil Moon. Here we go.
Okay.
You and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil moon that you stole from the sky. It's that old devil moon in your eyes. You and your plants make this romance too hot to handle. Stars in the night burning their light can't hold a candle. Flying high and wide on a magic carpet ride full of butterflies.
I don't know about you, but everybody in the studio here, we're dancing, we're throwing plates, we're getting down to the party. I love that Latin beat. How did you decide to do that to Old
Well,
Devil?
That was Mark and I kind of came up with that, Mark Massey, the piano player. I told him I wanted to find a non-swing version of this, and I was thinking kind of Latin. And he came up with that rhythm is actually called Afro-Cuban, and with what's called a 2-3 clave.
Oh, there you see
rhythm
clave
to it.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah. But, yeah, he kind of came up with that, and with that piano montuno thing, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, he came up with that whole rhythmic structure, and we just kind of took it from there, so... Yeah, that was a fun one to do. That's one of my favorite ones on the CD.
It's wonderful that these old standards get to have a new life all the time, because there are people like you that say, oh, I like this song, now I'm going to bring my style, my sensibility to the song, and now you have a signature song.
Yeah.
And it's terrific. It's terrific.
Well, thank you. I feel like my background... You know, I did sing a lot of pop when I was younger, so I feel like, and country and some of that kind of stuff. And so I think I kind of bring that sound a little bit to my jazz, which hopefully will, you know, make it accessible for those people who aren't necessarily big jazz heads, you know, but they can hear kind of a slight pop influence in there.
Well, I think people are hesitant about jazz because they probably don't know much about it. I mean, I only know
mm-hmm.
what I like. But there's fusion jazz, which is, I guess, just all, to me, it's kind of noise. It's really all out there. It doesn't make any sense. It's
mm-hmm.
And then there's jazz that has standard jazz that has a rhythm. You could dance to it. You can sing to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that more that I like. And I applaud you for singing jazz, because if it's not for people like yourself that go out and perform this, I think the genre, unfortunately, might die.
Right. Well, it is already a very small niche in the musical world, you know. I mean, especially in this country, surprisingly, since America invented jazz, you know, I think in some ways it's actually more popular in other countries, in Japan or in Europe, for example. If you tour over there, they just treat you like you're a movie star, you know, and here, you know, you sing and people come up and they go, hey, do you know any Billy Joel? Kind of thing, you know.
But you do know Billy Joel.
But I do know Billy Joel, and actually I sing a couple of his tunes. I have learned over the years performing that what works for me is I try to find tunes that people do know, so that, you know, interspersed with some obscure stuff that's fun for me to do, I'll pull out a Billy Joel, or I'll pull out a Bonnie Raitt tune or something that is also fun for me to sing, and then it kind of sucks some of those audience members back in. Those people who maybe were kind of going, oh, this is a little over my head, or, you know, or they're thinking they're missing something, or they don't quite understand, you know, what I'm trying to say. So,
absolutely. I think it's so important, because it needs to be taught to the next, you know, generation.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, look what Dudamel, our conductor for the LA Philharmonic, is doing. He's like wakening up this sense of music in young people.
Mm-hmm.
And look, all forms of music come from classical music.
So exactly.
That's the basic of all music. And so he has an important role to play, because he is hopefully teaching the next generation to appreciate or just get a taste of what the classics are all about. And then
right.
you can take your step. So.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. I mean, he's amazing. And I think you're right. I think it started with classical, and it's kind of evolved through the years, and jazz is a little offshoot. And, you know, even rock and roll and some of these more contemporary stuff, you know, they're all offshoots basically going back to that, you know. So, and
that's
over
true.
The years, I mean, you know, things got more and more complicated classical-wise, you know, as the 20th century hit and they started going into atonal stuff. And I mean, this is not my forte. I'm more versed in jazz, but you know what I'm saying. And then I think as a people who couldn't understand that, they kind of started going into trying to write material that was easier for people to comprehend. And I think from there, some of the more contemporary music was born. You know, with jazz and with the blues and with rock and roll eventually, and you know, and all the way down to what we're listening to now on the radio.
I noticed you didn't call it anything. You just said what we're listening to on the radio. That's beautiful. I like how you segue into that. But I think it's important too. And again, unfortunately, I remember when I was in elementary school, we had a music study. You know, there was a part of our day was spent in music class, and unfortunately. I know the public schools in Los Angeles, music art, it's kind of down
I know.
Out the door, and they don't see a need. how do you give these young people an opportunity?
I know, and they've done studies that show that people who learn about music, their math skills are better and their verbal skills are better, and it's just it awakens a part of your brain that's, you know, really necessary. So I hope that they can, you know, get their act together and start offering music classes in school, because that's what helped me too. When I was, you know, in high school, that's what really got me interested in music was, you know, I had a great choir teacher and a great band teacher, and that got me really interested, you know. So it's
well,
a shame that people don't get to do that now.
Exactly. Well, you hope that the things that you learn in school, the curriculum, has a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
From the academic side to, not to say that music is an academic, but from more of an elective of the arts, music.
The creative, drama. Right. If you,
yeah, to
if
be
you
creative.
Stop, right, right. Well, and you know, and when I'm teaching, I kind of feel like I'm trying to help people find that creativity, even though I'm teaching technique. You know, once your technique is in place and you don't have to think about it anymore, then you have the freedom to be so creative with your singing. So and it doesn't really matter what age you start learning that. You know, I have kids as young as, you know, 8 or 9, and I have students in their 60s, and, you know, it doesn't matter.
So tell me, so with your teaching, what are can someone come to you who's had no musical training whatsoever? And
oh, sure. I teach beginners. Beginners to advanced. If someone wants to come to just work up a tune because they're, you know, they have an audition next week, I can help them with that. But yeah, basic beginners. If people come in and they've never sang before, I can help them as well. Learn how to breathe correctly and work on what's called placement. Just, I don't want to get too technical here, but where
the
sound
is. Oh, I love when
you
throw out those tech words.
placement just means where the sound is vibrating inside your body. So, for example, you have your chest voice and you have your head voice. And
give us an example. What is a chest voice?
Chest voice is the sound, usually the lower notes. And if you put your hand actually on your chest and you sing a low note, you can actually feel the vibration in your chest.
Okay.
And the head voice is the sound. The sound waves are literally bouncing around up in your skull. So you're singing, it's usually the higher notes, and it's up in there, and you don't feel the vibration anymore in your chest. So, and then there's what I try to teach people is something called the mixed voice, which is you take some chest and some head, and you kind of mix it right into the middle part of your face, and that's where the sound is going to be coming out. And then you can get that nice, bright, speaking tone. It's a very natural sound. It helps you when you want to try to go shoot for a high note and not yell it, but not go to head voice on it.
Can you give us an example? What does a mixed sound sound like?
Oh, you want me to sing?
Yes.
Right now?
No, let's play that gal Donna Deuce, and she's your twin sister. She's recorded several things.
It would be
like just sing a line of something that where you think what, because it's very helpful. Now I can hear the chest part, you know, and
and the head voice would be high. So it would be okay. Let me just turn my keyboard on here a second. Like the song that we were just listening to, The Old Devil Moon.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a part that's let me see here. I'm trying to find a note that's like in a kind of a mixy sound.
Have a martini.
Yeah. So if you were singing, you got me flying high and wide on a magic carpet ride full of butterflies inside. So it's that sound up here. Or even higher. I'm not going to blast
you
out right
now. That's just gorgeous. I'll take 2.
Thank you. But that's your mixed voice. When you're getting up into a little higher range, but it still has some meat under it, you're not going, but, you know, you're actually getting a nice big sound. Or like Aretha Franklin does. A lot of the R&B singers have that sound. Chaka Khan, who's one of my all-time favorite singers, she has just an amazing high mix that she does.
Well,
so,
and that's part of what, breathing, I'm assuming, or?
That's the placement thing that I was talking about. It's where you place the sound, whether you put it head, chest, or in that mixed voice. And if you want to come for a lesson, Lauren, I'll show you exactly
how to do it. I was thinking, you know, I'm always about wanting to have my voice. You know, I want to take my shower skills out into the real world.
Hey, I've heard you sing, actually. You're a good singer.
Don't
let her fool you.
I know. Mm-hmm. No, but it's true. Don't you hear people say, oh, gosh, I'm in the morning when I'm showering, I just, like, Frank Sinatra, I'm Mariah Carey, I'm whomever. And
oh, yeah.
What is the acoustics or something, isn't it?
It is the acoustics. The tile helps. Also, I find I do my best singing in my car. I don't know about you. I think there's no fear there. You know, you can just totally try crazy things, and every once in a while you'll come up with something amazing that you maybe would never do actually on stage because you pull back a little on stage because you want to make sure you're not going to do something totally crazy that's wrong.
I'm so glad you brought this up because this is always something I kind of bring up. It's just fear, you know, that four-letter word. It just really bothers me.
Mm.
Because you just said that you can sing in your car because like no one's watching, even though you don't. People are watching because you're driving by them. But you know we're in LA, so it doesn't really
matter.
But they
can't hear you because your windows are up, right?
No. But it's interesting how we sabotage ourselves because we want to be sing the perfect note or our
right.
I think
everybody has that. Everyone's guilty of that. Even, I mean, I have that too. I think everyone has that, and that's why, for me, really studying technique and getting my technique down really solid, that helped me get past the fear, because then you know, 99 times out of 100, your voice is going to do what you want it to do once your technique is down. When your technique is shaky, then it may only be 50% of the time that note comes out the way you want it to. So, I mean, that's why I would encourage anybody.
I mean, I think you and I have been just singing our vocal cords out and then inspired somebody to call and ask a question. I love that.
Oh, great.
So we're going to see our lovely caller, maybe they'll sing a note or two with us. So.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, you're on with Donna Dusen and Lauren.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, who are we speaking with?
My name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
I'm wondering what you can do if you have like a really bad cold or you know you're like losing your voice, maybe a little laryngitis. Are there any exercises or anything? Is there anything you can do?
Well, sure, Lisa. I think a couple of things. If you have any kind of if it's a sore throat type of thing, I would say lay off and don't sing at all until you're totally better, because your vocal cords are going to be inflamed from the infection being in your throat. If you just have like a nasal cold kind of thing, you can, and say you had a gig or something and you needed to sing through that, you can do just really gentle, easy warm-ups. There's one I give my students where you're bubbling your lips, just blowing air through your lips and kind of putting a little bit of a sound to it, that kind of thing. And you can kind of do sirens. You can start on a low note and go up high, that kind of thing. And just kind of, that's very gentle on your vocal cords, but it kind of starts to warm them up. So you can do some of those. But yeah, if you have a sore throat, I would say just wait till you get better to sing. Are you a singer?
Yes, I am. But I've heard that whispering is really bad.
Yes, it is actually. That's actually putting more strain on your vocal cords. So you shouldn't, unless you have completely lost your voice and you absolutely have to talk. But I would say don't whisper. That's not particularly good. Also, actually, coughing is also really irritating to your vocal cords. So you know, try to, if you feel like you need to cough, try to keep it as quiet and as mellow as you can. If that makes sense, you know, don't just let it out and hack away, because that's going to hurt your voice as well.
And I've also heard that hot apple cider is a nice remedy for the throat.
I've heard so many home remedies, and I have no idea. I think different things work for different people. For me, hot water with a little lemon and a little honey is kind of soothing. Other people swear by black cherry juice. I've heard that.
Black cherry juice?
Black cherry juice, yeah.
I've never heard of.
I have another friend of mine who's a singer who says I should eat a raw onion, which is never going to happen because I hate onions.
We'd probably lose a crowd instantly.
Are you sure she likes you?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Thank you so much. I think I'm going to go make some lemon with hot water and honey.
Lemon
right
with
now.
Hot water and honey will be great. And good luck, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in, Lisa.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're on the line with Dr. Donna. This is very helpful. So talking about like a remedy, what about what is a basic warm-up?
I have a whole series of exercises I give my students to do for them to practice with. They're probably too involved for me to go into here, but it does start with that lip trill I was just describing to the previous caller. Um, And it goes from there, and it helps you work on smoothing out any break you might have between your head and your chest voice, and help you gain some power in that upper register, and starts really training the muscles around the vocal cords to get them to hold the position you want them to. So, but
the voice is very important. I think it's a muscle that most of us tend to ignore.
Right. Mm-hmm. And just to let you know, Lauren, too, I am going to be I do teach private lessons, but I'm also going to be starting a workshop, a group class for people.
Yes, karaoke,
who want
to, right?
Well, it's to help people work on their performance technique as well as their vocal technique. Just people maybe who are always wanted to be a singer and never really knew how to get started with it, or maybe someone who has had a little bit of training but wants to get a little more comfortable singing in front of people. It's also for, you know, someone who might want to try out for American Idol, but wants to get a couple of songs worked up so they can sing it perfectly a cappella for that 2 seconds that you get in front of the judge.
That's nerve. What do you, how do you put, I was just listening to something the other night on a webinar about a 2 minute pitch, and it's not in I guess in the business sense, it wouldn't be, hi, my name is Lauren, and da 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 da. Because mm-hmm. after I say hi, my name is Lauren, I've lost my audience.
Hmm.
So how do you get a judge's attention in 2 minutes with a song?
Well, I think by just hopefully you've honed that song, your audition piece, down to. So that the very first note that comes out of your mouth is gorgeous and breathtaking, and so that they're ready to listen to the rest of it. So I think people who go to audition for American Idol really want to have that song so perfect that they could do it even when they're so nervous and their mouth is so dry and they can barely, you know, think straight and their knees are wobbling. They're still able to take that breath and get that first note out so that it just sounds the way they want it to. And I it's probably the same with what you were talking about with the webinar. That very first two words that you say have to be just so interesting and pleasing and please tell me more kind of thing. And so
exactly.
That's how those first two notes have to be, yeah.
Well, you have to get your audience. Having done stand-up comedy, it's one thing that stand-up comic should never lose is their audience during
So brave to do that. I could never. I have no problem getting up and singing in front of people and talking to the audience while I'm up there. But, oh, man, stand-up comedy to me just looks so scary.
It is. It is scary because people have an expectation of, go ahead, I dare you, make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you.
Yeah. Other people say to me, how can you get up and sing? Isn't that scary? And I say, no, it's not. But, you know, so I guess it's all what we're just used to.
True. You know? And people would probably say, I can't speak in front of a large crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
How do people overcome their fear? There are a myriad of little, I don't know, I remember taking a speech and drama class in junior high
mm-hmm.
school, and the
mm-hmm.
teacher said, when giving a speech, think of people in their underwear. You know, you look to the mm-hmm. last row. You don't look at
mm-hmm.
the people's eyes. You look over their head, and so
mm-hmm.
it looks like you're looking at them. They're little.
Right.
Little.
I tell my students that, too. I do that as well, you know, looking over people's head, because then they can still see your face, an expression on your face as you're singing, but you're not locking eyes, especially in, like, an audition situation where, you know, you're obviously being judged. You know, that's what they're doing. They are judges. That's what they're supposed to be doing. So, but for me, I think just the more I perform, the easier it gets. So I always tell people who tell me, you know, or who ask me, you know, how do I get over my stage fright? My answer is just keep doing it. You know, just keep making yourself
get up. But I don't think you ever
want
to get over it. Do you? I mean, there's always those little nerves in your stomach. You're apron of the stage, and you know the lights are going down, people are becoming
mm-hmm.
quiet in their seats, the band kind of did a little warm up, you know, a little, and the conductor, you know, kind of here and then now, ladies and gentlemen,
mm-hmm.
here's Donna Dizzy. I mean,
yeah.
that's that wow, that energy, you kind of want, I think you want to have that. You need to know how to use it in your performance.
That's right. And I think for me, I have to tell myself, remember, this is fun. Because sometimes when you're right at that edge, when you're feeling really nervous and you're thinking, oh, why am I doing this to myself? I could just be sitting on my couch watching TV, you know, and you're all dressed up and you know, standing there waiting to be introduced. But as soon as you start singing, it's fun. It just, you know, you start feeding off the energy of the audience, and then you go, oh, yeah, this is why I'm doing this, because this
is really
a kick.
Well, I've been having so much fun here, and we're almost out of time, and so I want to get all the juice out there about where people can get in touch with you for your vocal workshops and how to buy your CD. So why don't you tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Well, I have a website, which is my name. It's www.donnadeusen.com, and Deusen is spelled D-E-U-S-S, like Sam, E-N. And it's funny because I actually donated money to my NPR station yesterday, and they read my name on the air, and they, you know, and they were like, oh, I'm Donna Deusen. I was like, oh, well, so I have a weird last name, and it is hard to spell, but it's D-E-U-S-S-E-N. And the CD is available on CD Baby. And, again, just look under my name, and you can find that. And if you want to contact me to find out about private lessons, or if you're interested in taking this vocal workshop that I'm going to be starting in January, it's going to be on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock in Tarzana.
Mm-hmm.
And you can email me at my last name, Deusen, D-E-U-S-S-E-N, and then the letter D, so deusend@yahoo.com, and I can give you more information about that.
Okay, and perhaps you can find a way to help those people that are not in the L.A. area who are interested in some sort of vocal workshop.
You know, I have been actually thinking about doing Skype lessons. I haven't done them yet. I have. I know a couple other people who are teaching piano on Skype, and so I have actually thought about that. I don't have it set up yet to do that, but if I get enough people interested, I would definitely.
I think you should. I think that's the way to go. That's the way to go. Well, Donna, it's been a long time since we know each other for a while, so this is a lovely chat.
It has been great.
It's been so great. And again, let me just give your info out there, donnadeusen.com, D-E-U-S-S as in Sam, E-N.com. And you can buy High Wire on cdbaby.com. And Donna, thank you so much for joining me today on the radio show. It was a pleasure.
Well, thank you, Lauren. It's been a pleasure for me, too.
And please join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes when my mystery guest will be. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you all so much for joining me and Donna Deusen and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes. And how about we leave you with another Donna Deusen song? How about, maybe Blues in the Night. This is where technology really, really helps. So here we go with Donna Deusen and Blues in the Night.
My mama done told me when I was in pigtails. My mama done told me. big tale my mama done told me.